Hi, welcome back to Homeroom 603. This is Megan Tuttle, president for NEA New Hampshire. Today we join Molly Kelly's roundtable at Farmhouse Roasters in Salem, New Hampshire to discuss education issues, especially funding and gun safety, with the next governor of New Hampshire, Molly Kelly, and voters from Salem.
I knew Megan when she was a teacher. I think she actually was a teacher for one of my sons. And now she's heading up the NEA, and you know I've been endorsed by the NEA and so proud to have their endorsement, which is great because you know.
Not endorsed.
Okay.
Oh, good. Because you know that education's my priority and public education.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been talking about that every single day. And I think, you know, you probably heard that on the debate as well,
right.
You know, last night to really talk about it. And so it's good to have Megan here as well to kind of talk about what's happening with the teachers and what's really important to many of our educators in the state with this election. And we have a choice to be made coming up Tuesday, so just a few days. And so last night we did have a debate. It sounds like you did too.
Yes.
And it went very well.
Yes.
Would love to hear more about that from you. I have to say that I felt the debate was great and was able to really talk about the issues I think that are so important to the people here in New Hampshire and the issues that are challenging us, and for voters to really see there's a clear difference on so many of the issues. But I have to say that the most disturbing thing that came out of the debate last night is that when my opponent, Chris Sununu, said that he believed that anyone should be able to carry a concealed weapon into a school and to be in a school with a concealed weapon. It's a hidden weapon, and that is wrong. It is wrong for New Hampshire, and it is certainly wrong for the children in our schools. And I think Megan would be able to speak, too, about how the teachers are feeling about that.
Yeah.
That as well is it's dangerous. It's dangerous, and to have someone who wants to be reelected, as Chris Sununu does, to feel that and to believe that, I think is very scary and dangerous. And I want, as governor, to keep our children safe in schools, and it's a priority that I have. And these are our children who leave their homes every day, carrying those little backpacks, and some not so little. Walking into those schools, and they trust us. They trust us. They trust us to keep them safe. And we have to do everything that we can to do that and to support our teachers to make it safe for them and their responsibility that we have. And as, you know, I always say, as, you know, I have four children, and now I have seven grandchildren. And when my four children went to school, I never worried about them
about this kind of
connected to school violence.
When you went to school,
right.
Children and grandchildren, no one ever assumed this was a problem that teachers would have to face with the children, especially kindergartners.
Right, right. Yeah, sorry. Everything bagel? And we got an everything bagel? Anybody? Okay. So I think you're absolutely right. And then for me, now with seven grandchildren, I mean,
right.
I worry about it every single day. And to hear Chris Sununu say that anyone should be, it would be okay for anyone to carry and to have in a school a concealed weapon it's unacceptable. It's dangerous. And I think that voters need to know there is a clear difference between myself. And I will stand up to the NRA, and
right.
My opponent is carrying on the agenda of the NRA.
Why did Mr. Sununu say that was okay?
He just said it was. He said it was okay to do that. And
it's okay.
It's okay to do that. So I think, yes, you're looking and saying, how could he, why would he say that?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think he feels it's okay anywhere.
He does.
Yes.
He feels
right
it's okay anywhere.
Of a Congress and a church.
Anywhere, right.
Yep.
Anywhere. But the fact that, you know, he thinks it's okay to bring them into schools is worse in the sense, I mean, it's not okay anywhere really to think about it, but to bring them into schools, I mean, I have three kids of my own that go to public school, and I taught for 18 years, and if you go into a meeting, you don't know if the parents across from you are carrying a concealed weapon or not. You know, they have voting in schools, in some schools, so even if the children aren't there, a lot of time the staff are still there, and you don't know who's coming in. I mean, we're trying to create a safe space for the children, and that's not working. And for the educators, I mean, they need to feel safe as well. And to say that it's okay to do that is, it's not okay. Shouldn't be anywhere near school
grounds.
Is Dick
O'Shaughnessy?
Where's Dick?
He was a principal for 28 years. And Dick, come on, Dick has a really profound statement about guns in schools.
I'm a retired principal, great grandfather. I have young kids, young grandchildren over in Hampton and up in Portsmouth. So I've been on this kick now ever since they had the Hennessy law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading the papers, and when they were discussing that, they had the young kids from the colleges. They were there, and they were pleading. And then they had one fellow from the NRA saying he should be, when he goes into the school in an hour to see his second grade teacher, he should be able to protect himself. Well, if that's the logic. Well, he didn't say that, but I'm just saying this is
right.
Basically his logic. And I was brought home, and when I visited the schools up here, so I come up, the door's locked, I can't get in, so I have to press a button. So they look at me in the camera, they open the door, I get in the first door, and then I have to press second door, I finally get in. Now, if I was carrying a gun, whether all the buttons and all the cameras don't make any difference, let me in or I'll blow the big bad wolf. And if they call the police, say there's a fella here, he has a gun on him, and he wants to come into the school, all the police can say is, well, what do you want us to do? He can do that. So my only thing is, people should know this. I don't think anybody knows this. I don't think young parents know. And I've dealt with young parents. They'll get all bent out of shape if their kid is 10 feet away from the bus stop or back forth. If they ever knew that somebody can carry a gun into the school, they might blow their mind. But they have to be educated to the fact that in New Hampshire, this is the law. And the question is, who was able with the power to push this law through? We all know who that comes from.
And to
stop the Senate.
All right.
Longest name in the bell. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that's why I support common sense gun safety.
Right.
And I think that there were bills that were put forth about local communities being able to make their own decisions about school safety, gun safety zones. And I obviously would support that 100%. My opponent has not. So we do need common sense gun safety to protect our children. And in particular, even in the last few weeks of everything that has been going on and what happened at Tree of Life and a place of worship that is safe, we need to be able to live in a community where our children are safe in particular. That's always my number one priority. But so we need to put in place gun safety laws. And as governor,
and
I will do that.
Judge Scalia, who was so conservative, said that there was no reason not to have reasonable constraints for the Second Amendment. And reasonable to him was, background checks, making sure that people who owned guns were balanced enough to be able to use them wisely, and that they shouldn't be brought into public places just because somebody wanted to. So for the most conservative judge in the past, anyway, to say something like that, because he was really intent on following the Constitution and what it meant then and how it works now, it makes no sense that we don't do that.
I've got a great Scalia story about this. I used to teach at the National War College in Washington, so senior military officers before they become generals. And one of the things we did every year was go to the Supreme Court, and Justice Scalia wanted to address these future military leaders. And he would go on his, normal, he was a brilliant man, and he would talk about, he believed in a strict interpretation, reading of the Constitution as it's written. And he would go at length talking about many countries can have Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
The Soviet Union had an elaborate listing of all the rights in the Soviet Union. But he said, unless you have the structure of government to protect those rights. And as he went on to talk about it, he said, guns do not protect you against government. It's the Constitution that protects you against tyranny. It's the structure of our government. So he also made the point that when the NRA changed its position on this and began to say you need your gun to protect yourself against tyranny or against government, that's a misreading of the Constitution. It's the complexity of our government. It is our protection against tyranny.
Right, it is. And I think that's a great point. And I think the bottom line is that we need common sense, gun safety.
Mm.
And who's more important to us every day than our children, our grandchildren, and all of the children in our communities, in our schools.
And our teachers.
And our teachers. And I think it's so true. You know, I think that some of these policies really are come from D.C. as well under the Trump administration. And we see that Chris Sununu has brought many of these policies and agenda here to New Hampshire, and it's wrong. In particular, I'm thinking of the school voucher program.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that is a program that comes straight out of the Trump administration. Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education for our country, believes in school voucher programs as well, and has been here and had a fundraiser with Chris Sununu. And we know that school vouchers programs take money from our public schools, moving them into private religious schools, and they weaken our public schools.
Right.
And they also will raise property taxes.
Right.
And that is wrong for New Hampshire. I really believe that public education is a real tenet of democracy.
Yeah.
And if we erode public education, we are eroding democracy. And I would veto any voucher program here in our state. And we need to be investing more in public education and strengthening public education and not weakening it. And I know that Megan feels strongly as I do about this in her position working with teachers every day as well, because they're looking for support in their schools. And they're there on the front lines and know how important every child is, know how important an investment in education is in our state for everyone to have an opportunity to succeed. And you know, I want to build a New Hampshire where everyone succeeds, and not just a few, and it starts with education. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, one of the first things when you appointed Frank Edelblue as the Commissioner of Education, who has no experience in public education whatsoever, I mean, that was the first thing that we knew that, you know, this isn't going to be good. And it's exactly like Molly said, you know, coming down from the Trump administration and trying to get the vouchers pushed through. We have amazing schools in New Hampshire, and we have amazing educators that are doing great things every day in the schools. The problem is not everybody sees it, so they think, oh, we need to have choice. We need to send the kids somewhere else. No, we don't. We have great educators, great teachers, great aides, great food service, great everybody working in the schools. And kids are getting what they need. They are. But the schools aren't getting what they need necessarily. You know, going along with the vouchers with school funding. I mean, we should be funding schools in different ways. We should be looking at, you know, a stable way to fund full day kindergarten for everybody, not based on gambling. We need a, you know, something that's going to actually work in the future, not something that we have to see if we're going to get enough revenue in or not. You know, and we should be looking at even pre-K, having kids started, you know, by age 4. All those things are going to set kids up for a much better future in education. Mm-hmm. And working with the great educators we have, they're going to be successful. But instead, we're looking at things like sending the money to private schools. We're looking at, you know, do we need to start the school year before Labor Day or after Labor Day?
Halloween.
And Halloween,
and
I saw that.
Don't forget
right.
about that.
Do
That's
they need
major
to trick
issue.
Or treat on Halloween, or should we move it to Saturday? Because I know I'm sitting up wondering those burning questions for my 3 kids.
It keeps me up.
What's going to be better?
And what is really important
I mean,
to you, Megan, and to teachers?
You know,
right?
It's give us the resources we need. Give us more school counselors, more school psychologists. You know, fully fund special education that hasn't been fully funded in, I think, ever. Help us with what we need in the schools, and you know, they'll see what exactly the great things we're doing. But all these other frivolous things are just distractions, and it's not really addressing
also, don't you
the problem.
I always thought when I was little, public education was one of those institutions from the beginning of our country that was part of the unity of our country.
Yes.
When we've gone canvassing, people will say, personally, economically, they're okay. What's their concern is the division in the country, people being pulled apart. Mm-hmm. And you think about an institution like public education,
mm-hmm.
it besides just the education, it's the fact that it's an institution that is part of the glue of this nation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think the support mm-hmm. for that idea is on people's minds right now because they're worried
mm-hmm.
divide and conquer is an effective strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to divide us,
right.
it makes
right.
us weaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And these programs and these agendas are coming right from the
right.
Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. And we need to have leaders, as you said, who bring people together,
yeah.
not pull them
right.
apart and be divisive. I think you're absolutely right. And public education, as I said, I believe is a real tenet of democracy.
Yep.
And
the question, I ask, assuming that you win the governorship and we capture the Senate and the House, and about education funding,
mm-hmm.
and of course New Hampshire is anti-tax, general tax state,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that,
mm-hmm.
but suppose we introduce, say, 1% income tax for education,
mm-hmm.
limited to the education,
mm-hmm.
would that be acceptable to many people?
I will just tell you that, and I've been pretty clear, very clear about this, that I do not support a sales or an income tax and would veto an income tax as well and a sales tax. You know, we do have a $12 billion budget, and one of the what the governor does is to put forth the first budget, and we always put at the top of our budget what's important to us, right? In our homes or our businesses. And as governor, I will put education at the top of my budget. I do believe strongly that every child, no matter where they're born, where they live, or the income of their parents, all have a right to an adequate and quality education. My opponent has given tax breaks to 3% of the wealthiest corporations. We don't need to do that. We need to fund public education. So let's take that funding, invest it into education, job training, and let's make college affordable instead of the tax breaks. And I know, because speaking with businesses every day, and I did in the Senate as well as every day throughout this campaign, speaking with them, that what's important to them, and we hear this, is wanting a educated and a prepared workforce. That's what's important to them. So they want to be a player. They understand this, and we need to bring together all of our industries, work together with educators, and I know we're doing more of that, to help each other. Because the goal is the same. Also, I think that, as I said, I would veto any voucher program that actually took money
right.
away from public school.
What upset me is the Claremont decision was
mm-hmm.
how many years ago?
Mm-hmm.
20.
More than
20.
And we haven't solved that problem
yeah.
decision by the Supreme Court.
Well,
and that's what upset
yeah.
me.
Oh, I hear you. Right. And that has to do with that what I was saying earlier or a few minutes ago about the belief that every child, no matter where they are, wherever they live. So when I was in the Senate, and I was in the Senate for 10 years, I was on education. I had the honor of chairing education when we were in a majority. And I was one of the senators that worked on the adequacy formula because of Claremont. And we worked very hard to put a formula together that actually met the need of every child through the state. And we did that. Obviously, I think it's important to put always more funding into, but the formula itself was met the courts, met the decision in the Claremont court, satisfied the courts. And what has happened over time is that formula has changed. And because of those changes, now we're back to where we are. So what I want to do as governor is come back to the table and to go back to where we started and to meet those requirements from the Claremont case that the court said, because the court was satisfied and we'll be able to do that. So that's where the starting point is, making education the top of our budget, repealing those tax cuts to the wealthiest corporations and invest instead in education. I think it's most, and to veto any voucher program that would take money from education.
And I think there can be, the money, like you said, can be allotted differently too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just looking at what's really important. You know, they put $30 million into infrastructure for schools to make them safer, which is good. You know, we have
mm-hmm.
doors and bulletproof glass and locks and all that. But could some of that have been used for mental health programs, for educating educators on how to deal with, you know, kids in trauma, kids in crisis that are coming into the schools and all those things? So, you know, like you said,
right.
reallocating and what's important.
Right. And I think that brings up another point about agenda and policies coming straight from the Trump administration. They had, you know, that Donald Trump had put together a task force led by Betsy DeVos to look at safety in our schools
mm-hmm.
because, but you could not mention the word guns.
Right.
It wasn't a part of the discussion. Well, Chris Sununu, his governor, put a task force together to look at the safety in our schools, and you could not discuss guns as well. It's parallel to exactly what is coming out of Washington. He is bringing it here, and I think that it's clear that that's what is going on as well. And if we are going to be talking about safety in our schools, we have to be talking about gun safety and common sense gun safety as well. It's important. Yes.
I've got a hard question. When I was up for the campaign for the candidates, and they were going through the budget and so forth, they said one of the problems with New Hampshire's budget was basically it had a structural deficiency. Okay, you were revenue down. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to increase income tax or sales tax,
mm-hmm.
how are we going to balance the budget without balancing it on the backs of removing social programs
mm-hmm.
and dealing with the less vulnerable in our society? It's not an easy question. Where's the revenue going to come from if the revenue is not keeping pace with the cost of living?
Right. Then why would my opponent give tax breaks to the wealthiest corporations?
I
so that's where we have to start, because if we're looking at how much revenue do we need for education and making it at the top of our budget, why would we then say, I'm going to choose to give tax breaks to the wealthiest? So that's exactly where I will be starting to look at that. And I was in the Senate for 10 years and worked on 5 different budgets. So I understand the structure. And we do need, as Megan said, to make sure that we move things around so that we do take care of education. One of the things that Megan mentioned, I just want to, and I think this is part of what we're talking about as well, is we need to have friendly public policy for our young people to stay here. And we need to make college affordable as well and incentives for them to be here. One of the things that we can do is to expand our student loan repayment program. Right now, it's really set just for health care, but it's a repayment program that says to our students, our college students, if you come here to school at our university systems, then we will help you repay your debt by positions in mostly public service or in health care. We need to expand that to educators as well. And to Megan's point, we need to expand that, I think, to guidance counselors in the schools.
Right.
And then it is an incentive for young people to come here to attend our universities, knowing that we're saying to them, these are the needs of our state. We welcome you here. We are going to help you pay back your loans because you're going to give back to the community on the things that we need. And those are kind of the structural things that we can change as well to make to move some of the needs that we have. Special ed is another issue. Those are federal issues. And I will work closely with our federal delegation to make sure that we continue to move that forward, because that's I've heard that for so long, and it's so true. And you know, the whole special needs and where we're looking at that has changed, and we have wonderful, wonderful teachers who are so committed. But that's another program that we could encourage our young people to come and to take care of some of the social workers in schools or guidance counselors and those kind of initiatives. The other, just to your point, is what I talked earlier about businesses and educators working together. When I was in the Senate, I chaired for 8 years the Advanced Manufacturing Education Advisory Council, and that's exactly what we did. We had CEOs from industries around the table. This was just manufacturing, but it's a model that I would like to put forth throughout as governor, and then educators, leaders. And, you know, it was instead of people educators looking, how are we doing the best that we're doing here for our students? And then we had CEOs that were like, but we don't have the workers, instead of trying to do it over here, but to come together. Mm-hmm. And so what is really unique and what I think is a great opportunity and a special time here in New Hampshire we can do this, mm-hmm. is because businesses are crying out for a prepared and an educated workforce. They're crying out for that. So it's not like in times where educators would go to businesses and say, could you help us? Mm-hmm. No, it's just the opposite.
Right.
So, you know, they, with their resources and their need, they have been more involved in after school programs, mm-hmm. in school programs. We had I put a model together in my Senate district of with Keene State College, the high school, the Chamber of Commerce, and the community college, so that we could build this pipeline. And this was in advanced manufacturing. And that happened. Keene State housed it. Chamber of Commerce businesses provided the equipment for the training. High school students, instead of being in their classroom in high school, went to the college and took classes, and employers sent employees who needed to be retrained, and the community college offered classes. So those are the kinds of collaborations that we have to do to help with the expense, to work together, and to really have a pipeline. Now, that was advanced manufacturing, which is still moving and working in that direction. The council had put forth the first really true initiatives on STEM, which was so important, and we know mm-hmm. how that one integrated. Even the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation was involved and helped with that as well. So that is a model that we can move from, that we can go, and not just in advanced manufacturing, but in finance, other industries, and certainly in healthcare. So I think it's all of those things to your question. But you know, at the bottom line, we need a governor who is committed to public education, that would never support a program that took money away from public education, wants to strengthen public education, put it at the top of the budget, and to make sure that we're funding public education to give everyone an opportunity and possibilities, and to make sure that our children and our teachers and educators are safe in their schools.
Right.
And that's a choice. Mm-hmm. That's the choice that voters have on Tuesday. And I am going to be a governor, as you know, that builds a New Hampshire that works for everyone and make education a priority. You probably all know it was personal to me. Education was my hope in my mm-hmm. own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to open those doors up for every child and every family, because then we have what we need to move forward to provide for our families. That's what education gave me. And as a single mom, when I was a single mom, today I have, as I said, I'm married with four children. But there was a time, and I went back to college at Keene State College. My children were little, just 3, 6, and 7. But I knew that I needed to do that.
I don't know how you did it.
3 kids is a lot. Right?
Well, you know,
is a lot. But
I did it because
you
I believed it,
yeah. it.
I believed it so strongly that it would not only provide opportunities for me, but would open doors of real possibilities for my children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Megan does every day, mm-hmm. and is a teacher, and what she does. And that's why I support teachers and want schools to be so safe and children to be there. To feel alive and excited. And I think every family that I talk to, everyone wants that for themselves and for their children. And that's what I'm about. That's what I'm going to do as governor. And I am so thrilled to hear that you are all out working so hard. We only have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
And we're ready.
And we're ready to do it. And let's go. Let's do it. Thank you very much. Great. I'm going to come back here for more Friday mornings.
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.